presence. Yes. Don't you know him tonight? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we surely count it a pleasure to be in your presence, Father. You said with two or three gathered together, I'll be there. And you will never disappoint us. You said you will meet us, and your word is as good as you are, Father. You cannot fail us. So we welcome you tonight, Father, with a grateful heart. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for your faithfulness and your blessings. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for delivering us, protecting us, Father. Thank you for your loving care, Father, throughout the week. Father, we are indeed a blessed people tonight, that you have chosen us, Father, to be your children. Father, we are in awe with you, and we want to just come tonight and express, Father, our gratitude to you, to tell you that we love you. And we ask you to forgive us for we have faltered. Father, but you know our desire, you know our hearts. Father, our desire is you tonight. So I know you're going to satisfy that desire that we have, Father, because we are thirsting for you tonight. Thirsting for your word. And you will be able to feed us tonight. Because you know every need of every heart, Father. So we are expecting, Father, the word come forward, Father, and when we leave here, we will be better people than when we came in, Father, because that is why we came, Father. We want to step higher, Father. We want to climb up a little higher, a little bit near to you tonight is what we want, Father. Closer to you. So this shall be with those that are not here for whatever reason. Be with our pastor, Father. Wife, Jennifer, Father, we ask you to protect them, Father, keep them. And we ask you to, whatever they're doing, Father, that you will relax them and let them enjoy whatever it is, Father. He deserves it. Father, so it is a pleasure for me to stand here tonight and be a little service to him and let him have his time. He needs time off as well. Father, we appreciate his work. And all that he do for the local bride, Jesus Christ. So thank you for my brother. Keep him, Lord. Keep him safe. And return him back safe and sound again, Father. We love you and we thank you for those that are here, for those that are listening, and for those that are, for whatever reason, out of town or sick, Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit will go, Father, and comfort them, Father, as well. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Genesis 5:24. Let's kind of warm up here. First time for me. But it feels better than cold, though. I take the heat before the cold weather. That's my island side, you know. So, Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony. And the bride will have a testimony too. That he pleased God. Amen. So you can be seated. Thank you. And welcome you again. This is the best place to be today. Communing with our Lord Jesus Christ and having fellowship with one another. Amen. So I decided to look at this subject because it intrigued me all the time. When I read this, he had a walk. But we have two scriptures that refers to Enoch. So then I'll be going, what kind of a walk? Because if Enoch had a walk, it's the same walk that I got to have today. There's no two different walks. You know? So I want to know what kind of a walk he walked, so I can at least imitate Enoch, you know? So these two scriptures, you know, they are four way, way afar. One in the Old Testament, beginning of the book, and one in the New Testament. So, and nothing else. So I decided that I wanted to look at what was not there. Yeah, we know what's there, not much. So we're going to preach of the things that we don't know. Right? We're going to fill in the gap. Because between Genesis and the New Testament is a big gap. So I'm going to look at the gap anyway, by inspiration at least. Because I want to know. I'm intrigued. I want to look at, you know, because that walk translated him, right? And if I want to imitate a walk, that's the kind of walk I want. One that is going to take me out of here. I don't want a walk that is going to keep me here. I want a walk that is going to, will take my last step just like him and sayonara. Bye-bye. Bye-bye world. We gone. So the last thing that we can see recorded here is that Paul says that he had a testimony. So I like to have the same testimony. Listen, there's not two Holy Ghosts, right? There's not two testimonies. There's not two walks. God is just black and white. You know, the same Holy Spirit in me will do the same thing in you. There's not two different Holy Ghosts. There's not two different walks. The walk that I walk, you have to walk. The walk that he walked, we all got to walk. Now, the circumstances might be a little different because God needs to extract out of us himself. He put something in there, and the only way he can extract that out is by putting us to some situation that are going to allow. At that point, you say, you know, God to manifest himself. Whatever circumstance, whatever trouble, whatever we go through. But it is for our purpose to know, you know, what is in us. He knows. Now, maybe our situations are different. They are tailored, custom. But it will have the same result, regardless. So that is the only thing that will be different. So, but beside that, we are walking the same walk. You know, we are going into the same journey. And we want the same end, the same objectives, right? Maybe we did not all begin the way we should have, but now we are, by the grace of God, we are in the walk. Amen. So let's look at what is not there. Let's preach what is not there then. Now let's start with faith, because that was the first clue that I got. He had a testimony that he pleased God. So you cannot please God unless you have faith, period. So if we're going to start this walk, you better believe that you have to have faith. And faith, the definition is now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is like an assurance, right? Not an insurance, but an assurance. An insurance probably don't even pay you anyway. People have lost their houses and all these fires and all these storms and the insurance said, I'm bankrupt. And everybody don't get paid. You know, so funny that they took my money all those years, but now they don't have any. You cannot trust. Nothing else. But you can trust the word of God and you can trust God. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. I have not seen heaven. How many have seen heaven? How many have seen a change of a body? Not yet, but I will. One of these days. But right now, there's a lot of things that I have not seen. And there are a lot of things that I'm going to preach that I have not seen. But by inspiration, we can let God get out of the way myself and let God do that. Right? Because that's why we came. You didn't come to listen to me. My wife don't even listen at me. I don't even listen at myself. In fact, I'm too boring. You know, I don't like football. I don't like apple pie. I'm not your regular American guy neither. So I like other things. So people used to tell me, but you're boring. What do you do? Well, nothing, actually. So I said, you're boring. Okay. If I'm bored, leave me alone. I'm happy in my boredness. You know? So faith is a substance. Now, an assurance. You know, it's a substance means that we are sure of something. So it's like a confirmation that, okay, God promised me, but I have a confirmation that He's going to do it. How? I don't know. But the title is an assurance, a confirmation of those things that I cannot see. Right. Amen. So it's like a title deed. Okay, I got a title deed on my home, you know, in heavenly places. I got a title deed that is clear. Jesus has clear. There's nothing claim in that title deed. And I got the title deed. I have not seen the land. I have not seen the house. But I got a title deed that said, I got a house in heaven. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself, but I will send the counselor, he says. But I'm going to prepare what? Have you seen the place? I got a paper that said, I got a place. I got a house. And one of these days, I'm moving out. From here to there. Yep. I told my children, last time we moved from one house to another house, I said, the last move is to my heavenly house. I'm done moving. I mean, that was terrible. Brutal. At my age, that was brutal. I mean, at their age, they were brutal, and they're just 40, 50 years old. Imagine me. I don't think I want to do that again. So, don't worry, you don't have to help me anymore. Not this time. I don't need you this time. I got some help, some heavenly help. Amen. So it's like having a title deed that is assures me of a place. So a place that I'm hoping for, and it's been described in the Bible. And not only it's been described, but it's been guaranteed to me. And that's why God made a down payment. He made a down payment for me. He gave me a down payment, and that down payment was the Holy Ghost. That down payment was that He sealed my faith. Yeah. See? And He guaranteed me a place. If you don't believe that, then you're going to have to pray hard, because that's what you're here for. See? Because God has guaranteed you. See? As a children of God, that you are one of them. And your title is free. And you have a title to claim. Satan wants a squatter there. And Satan went and said, no, you don't. You know, he's a liar. Why? Because I have a title deed. That says, that is my evidence of what I cannot see. Okay, I don't see but I got a title deed here that, you know, if I don't see it, I know I can see it. At least in my dreams, you know. It's an evidence of thing nothing. It's a conviction that what I have is a reality. It's not a dream. You know what a dream is? Some people like to plan. You know, I do too. I have some time. My wife wants me to do a few things. Let me put it in my planner. You know, let me see my schedule. But no action. So when you plan and you don't have no action, you're just dreaming. Because when is it going to get done? Right. Well, okay. Sweet dreams, you know. So a plan without an action is just a dream. And some of people like to dream a lot, right? But this is not a dream. This is a reality. Amen? Because God has guaranteed me this. So, and God cannot lie. And God is a real God. And we're not depending on stories and dreams. We're depending on God. God is the one that created all for Him. And with Him, this is all He's doing. He's in control. So for me, it's a reality. See, faith, we cannot experience by intellectualism. See, and that's the problem. You cannot read your Bible and without a revelation, without faith. You're just dreaming. And today we have a lot of denominations that they are dreaming, and they're going to wake up one of these days, the foolish virgin. And they're going to say, wow, if that's what it was, well, you know, thank you, you smell the coffee, you know, wake up. Because if you have a plan and you have a word and you don't have no assurance and you don't have no guarantee, you're dreaming. It's just like you know, want to have a house. And you can dream to have a house and a new car. But until you can, you know, find the cash, because cash is as good as broad. I mean, you just exchange your cash for your car. So just like faith, Brother Van says, you know, faith is like that. If you have a quarter, you can go and buy a piece of bread. Potentially, I got a car, I got a home. If you got money, potentially you have faith. When you get there, you're going to do what? Exchange. So is that something like we are trying to figure out how to get it? Something has to happen to you. Somebody has to do something and give you that guarantee. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ. He died and he paid, and he gave you this body. See, everything is paid. Here it is, signed in blood. You don't know anything, and everything you want is yours now, because you don't know nobody anything, and nobody can take anything from you now. I have a sign there in blood. So, forgave all my sins, took all my burdens away. So how do you know you're not going to pay for what you did yesterday or what you're going to do tomorrow? I got it. I got a piece of paper. I got a deed that says I'm absolutely not guilty. And that's all I care. And I don't care who's talking. I know who gave it to me, and I know that he's more than able to bring all this to pass. And this is my reality. And if it's not your reality or nobody else's reality, leave me alone. Crazy. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm happy. Because I tried the other way, and that didn't work. In fact, I tried the other way, and I lost it all. So faith, it's a fact, you know. It's not something that we're wishing, you know. And we can experience, in a way, we can experience physically. You know, we might not be able to understand physically with our intellect, but we can, you know, by inspiration of God, we can know these things. We cannot see them, but we can understand. That's why we come to church. That's why we go through the Word. And this is the kind of faith that men of all had, you know, that God gave their divine approval. And that is the kind of faith that we need to have. To begin the walk, we need to have faith. Because God is pleased when we believe. Like Brother Brown said, you can own the best and the greatest honor you can give God is to do, believe his word. And he's pleased with that. And I'm here tonight to please him. Amen. Amen. So, 1 John 5:4 said, for whosoever is born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcome the world. Your faith. Without faith, you cannot overcome. And if you said you have faith or a form of godliness of faith, and denying the power that is behind that faith, listen, you will not be able to overcome the world. In your weakness, you won't be able to overcome your weakness. You'll be back to the, like a pig, back to the mud. Right. See, but we have something that will keep us, not only keep us in the time of weakness, of my flesh weakness, he has something that can overcome that too. Right. It's not me. But what is it make I overcome? That faith. And that's why Enoch overcame. His faith. The victory was the faith. That's our victory tonight. That's our triumph. Your faith. Where is your faith at? Because that will be your victory. I will give you according to your expectation, he says. What are we expecting? I'm expecting that everything that he promised, he will bring to pass. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I know one thing. That he has more than enough power to do this. So born and overcome the world. And this is the victory. And I think that's what Enoch had. He had victory. Because he pleased God. Why? Because his faith was in the right place. Believing God. So everybody that is born of God is victorious. If you have the Holy Ghost I'm born of God. You can overcome the world. So I don't want to hear this. This is too hard. This is too hard. Listen, do you have the overcomer or not? I think you should look at that side instead of looking at the complaining. That's why Brother Brown said, don't look at the situation, at your circumstance. Look at what? At the word. Faith will overcome sickness. I don't care what it is. Look at faith. What he promised, we believe it. How it's going to happen, I don't know. But I'm glad that I can believe. Because that is not of yourself. You didn't bring nothing to this table but a mess. And I'm glad that he took care of that too. He took my dirty, filthy robe and he gave me his robe. Because that's what I was, a ball of filthiness. Nobody can, you know, say, well, I was good and I did all this. I don't care how good you were. It's not by good. We're still sinners, saved by grace. So he is the one that his faith, the faith of God in us, because with that faith it's impossible to please him completely. So you want to please God, it's just one thing you need to do. Believe God. Never doubt God. I don't care how impossible things get, just stick with that word and believe that word. And you must believe that he is. He's a reality. He's not a Santa Claus. Or, you know, or the one that bring you your fairy that bring you, you know, dying for your tooth. You know, God is not a fairy that he's just going to do one and you're done. Go, happy. Here we go. No. God is real. See? God must be, we must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder. 11, I'm reading, I'm sorry, I'm went ahead of you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that what? That seek him on Sundays and Wednesday, or when I'm in trouble, or when I need it. You know what diligently means? All the time. Even if you're not sick. Are you just going to read your Bible when you are in trouble? No. Constantly. Amen. Consistently. You know, every day. Every hour. Every minute. If it's possible. You know what? We have a lot of hurricanes. The season is coming now. Hurricanes and storms. But you don't prepare for a hurricane when he's already on top of you. You get warnings, right? And it's up to you to prepare before, you know, it comes. In Puerto Rico, we go through all of those. And you see people getting sandbags and board the windows and getting food and water. And I tell you, it's a running, corre, 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 everywhere, everybody, to the stores. You don't want to wait until the last minute. You don't want to wait until the last minute when something happened to you and the storm is blowing on the house to get down on your knees and prepare. Right. Nothing wrong. You can get in your knees anytime, but why wait? Faith is impossible to please him. See? Diligently seek him. Not just on Wednesdays and not on Sundays and not when I need him. But every minute that you can. Yesterday I was walking the dogs and, you know, and I got to the park and it's nice grease, green grass. Went a couple of times and it was so nice. And the dogs, what they like, the highlight of the walk is to get in there and roll in all over the grass and get all dirty and in the dust. And I mean, they love to roll in the grass. And so I said, well, I'm doing the same thing then. And I didn't roll. I just sat in the grass. And I relaxed, and suddenly something dropped in my heart, and I started just thinking about the Lord and his goodness, and next thing I feel something, some sensation, and I was one of the dogs licking me, let's go, get up. Anyway, But I don't have to wait for a specific time or a specific day. Anytime you find yourself in a calm or in peace, you know, let your mind wander towards Him. And then He blessed me this morning. I have been able not to breathe for a year now. Last time I came to preach, I hardly can breathe. I'm always, you know, trying to get air. My nose, this morning I woke up and I said, oh my God, I can't smell. I've been breathing through my mouth for almost a year now. I just sat in the grass and I started, you know, delighting myself in the Lord. I didn't ask Him anything. I just thanked Him for it. And this morning I wake up, I say, my, what happened? I know what happened. God was pleased. Not that I am a person to please people, but He was pleased just for me just to sit for a second or two and remember Him and His goodness. He said, I don't care where you are at work or, you know, school. Just take a time. Every time you stop and things go down and calm and it's peace, let your mind wander towards heaven, towards Him. You don't know what's going to happen. I've been praying for a year now. My wife been praying for her condition. But one of these days, it's just that simple. The day that you did not expect, I've seen on a piece of grass, and I wanted just to you know, smell the air, and I couldn't and do things, and next day, enough for me. Okay. But all I'm saying is, He's a reality. This is not a dream. And if it's a dream, please do not wake me up. He will reward you because He cares enough for you to respond. You know, we don't serve in a person that you call and you call and they don't want to talk to you. Well, I do that to the people, the marketing people. They call and I know already and so. Anyway, but God will not do that. When you call upon God, He will respond. Maybe He will not respond right then, right there, but He will respond to you. You just have to have patience. Maybe the Lord is wanting on something else. We don't know. But one thing is, He cares enough to respond. Sometimes people call me and I don't respond. I'm sorry, but the doctor sometimes he calls me. I was getting ready for preaching, so I ignored the phone. I think you call me this week sometime, and I was too busy. So, but God will not do that to you. He will respond sooner or later. He will respond. You have to be waiting. Amen? You cannot forget. You need to be waiting for His call. Those that diligently, earnestly seek Him will find them. Let's take a little bit. Let's look at these two words. Diligently, earnestly keep seeking and asking and knocking. Let's look at Matthew 7:7. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, one time, well, I prayed 40 years and, you know, the Lord haven't done nothing. Good luck with that one. This is not just a one-time deal. Just like people, I had experience with God about 40 years ago. And how is it going now? I think you need to have an experience, God, Brother Ben said, an experience every day. If you don't, he says, you're backsliding. So it is not just asking one time and forget about the rest of the year, but it is asking and continue asking. This is the story that lady bothered the unjust judge, and he kept going. She didn't go just one time and said, I need you to fix this, and okay, see you next year. No. She just bothered him and bothered him. You're not going to bother God, but the story said that he kept, and he said, I better do something because, you know, this lady is going to run me crazy. I need to get rid of her. And the only way I'm going to get rid of her is that I do what she wants. Well, God is not that way, but it is the same principle. Asking, you keep asking, you keep knocking, you keep seeking. Now, the idea of some people on this is, well, We have a preacher that's coming to town that I like. I have him pray for me. Oh, no, then another one. Oh, I'm going to go to this church. You know, that's the idea of continuing.
Yeah.
Every time somebody comes that they like, I want to give, oh, so it has a gift. Listen, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about continuously, diligently, earnestly
Amen.
Looking for God.
Amen.
I think that's what the reason some people don't find God.
Sure.
They think they're playing hide and seek, you know, because we're not looking. Oh, we look, it's just a short amount of time, and that's it. All right, I try tomorrow, or maybe next week, or when the next preacher comes. No. You have to do it all the time, if you have to. I mean, if somebody owed you money, would you bother him every day? Yes, you will. I would too. And this is more than money. This is more than material thing. This is about yourself. Sickness, diseases, things that we need to overcome. Because if I don't overcome, I cannot be what God wants me to be. And that's what I want. To come to church, to do whatever gift He gives me. All I want is not so I can have some more fun and stay away. I want Him, I want more Him, so I can be more of a service. Because the gift is not for me anyway. So, persistent. Constant prayer. It's not a one-time thing or waiting for the right preacher to come in town. No, persistent. God will answer you sooner or later. Sometimes what we don't understand is when is the perfect time for things. God is perfect. And whatever time it takes and whatever day He do it or year, that will be the perfect time for you. Out of that, it will be imperfect because He will not do it. So be careful in trying to make something happen without God's approval. Because it won't work. I can tell you right now, it won't work. His ways are perfect. I don't care how long it takes or how short it takes. It's better to wait for His ways. Luke 18 says, and the Lord says, hear, that means listen, okay? I'm talking, listen. What the unjust just said, and she not avenge His own elect, His chosen one, which cried day and night unto Him. Now the Bible said day and night. I would say day and night too. So that means crying just one time, it's just cry day and night. You know, you cry when you wake up. You cry when you go down. You cry when you just come in long. I don't care. Every day for a year and a half, I've been crying out. Every time I feel a pain, I cry out. Every time I cannot breathe, I cry out. Why do I have to wait until, you know, okay, I already talked to Him, so I'm waiting. No. Every night, day and night unto Him. So He bear long. He might delay it, right? I'm providing the answer. But He knows when the right time is the right time and the perfect time for these things to happen. I can imagine those three Hebrew children. Three, yeah. You know, they throw them in the fiery furnace. I bet you they was wondering, how long are we going to be here? Well, as long as it takes. As long as it takes to bake. And some of you are still baking. In fact, I know some of you are not done yet. Done baking. So when you get through baking, then you leave this place. So as long as we're baking, we're going to feel the heat. And the heat is provided by the world, Satan and spirit, because he don't know that, but, you know, he's baking me. And when I'm done baking, I'm out of here. What a thought. Anyway, I think I'm on my wife because we bake all those years. I'm trying to bring something here now that I remember. Faith is the substance. And when I look at substance, you know, I remember baking or cake. Let's say that you order cake, you like a white cake or a chocolate cake with chocolate flavor, or you like a white cake with vanilla or almond flavor. And when you come, I make your cake. It looks pretty, enough to eat. It smells good, but when you take it home and you take a bite, they had no essence to it. We forgot to put the vanilla. What do you think it's going to taste like? Well, it has no essence to it. And that's when I think about faith. Faith without the essence, you know, it's not faith. It's not real. And I'm going to tell you what that essence is in a minute. It says, day and night unto him, through he bear long delay and providing. And I tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Now, maybe that word quickly, you defer on his, you know, definition and your definition of quickly. But in him, there's no time, so there's no quickly for him. Well, everything is quickly. For you, yeah, we live in time, so, okay, how long? Well, God is not a being that lives in light, in time. So there's no quickly there. Whenever he do it, that's the right time and the quick time. He says, quickly, we avenge you. He says, he shall avenge you speedily, quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what?
Faith.
Faith. This kind of faith. See? A faith that is consistent. A faith that can wait. A faith that is patient. A faith that is not just a one day and next day. And no, it's every night, every day. See? How he find that faith? See, that's a requirement. It's a requisite. It's necessary, you know, in this earth, that we have to please God with the right faith according to his word, anyway. Prayer and consistency, prayer. Luke 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven and so in earth. Praying. Praying for what? For his will. Not yours, his will to be done. Be consistent, be persistent, and make sure that it's God's will. The rest, you leave it in his hand. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further, and Jesus, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, if what I'm going to ask you is consistent with the word and your faith, see, you have to make sure it's according to his will. Let this, what? Cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but what? But thy will. I mean, if Jesus himself has to surrender even his own will, what about you and I? So, the will of God is very important, because in order for you to please God, you have to have faith in his word, and you have to do his will. Faith, believe in his word, and it has to be according to the word, that's his will, because the word is his will. Okay. Now, in order for me to take all these points and bring them all together so you can understand, I like to do it this way. Simple. Very simple. I don't know if I left this in my notes, so you can put it over there so I can take all these points and wrap them up. So, to walk with God, we must have faith so far, right? And believe in his will. Enoch believed, and he was not. He pleased God. He obeyed. That is his word. Now, you see that little thing in the bottom I put, and there I put, your will be done, right? That's what Jesus said. Not mine, but your will be done. So I put, you with our will. Your will be done. And I'm going to take that, your will be done, and that means unity. That's the first point. The second point is wisdom. And the third point is love. and light. And this small point, but we don't have all night to do this. So these are the first basic points. And if we have this, I can illustrate to you my point. Let's start with walk. Let's move along because time don't wait for anybody. I don't even okay. First point, if we want to walk with God, okay, we have to have faith and we have to obey His will, according to His will. But with that, there's more things that we have to do. That's the essential part, is the beginning. But we must have this according to the Bible. I told you I was going to speak to you things that we don't know. But I went to the New Testament, and we can gather a lot of things. Now, it says, Ephesians 4:1-6, unity. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, talking about Paul, is a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith you are called. So here, he's expressing that you will live a life, yeah, that will match your calling. And what is your calling? That's what the Bible said. Make sure that all your calling. What is your calling? If you don't know what your calling is, you will never walk in it. What is your calling? Well, the best I can figure it out, I've been called to be a son of God. In fact, let me go a little further. I've been called to reflect, to express the word of God in my day. I am called to be a walking Bible. I am called to represent God in this earth. You know what my vocation is? And He gave me the ability to do it. And the knowledge is to be like Him. Ain't that what you want when you come to church? That when you go out there, you can be read as a Bible, an epistle of God. That you are the walking Bible. That you are a representative of God in this earth. And you are reflecting His image. That's a high calling. That's what the Bible said, is the high calling. Because your calling is to be like Jesus to somebody else. That you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called. To live, express, imitate, reflect, replicate, reproduce Jesus Christ and His character in your life. Now that's a tall calling. To be like Him. I can, I never will. No, I know you will never will, but He will.
Right.
He will shape you, He will mold you, He will conform you, He will transform you, and He will make you from glory to glory to glory. He's making you like Him. That is a tall call. Jesus Christ. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness. Huh. So now you're going to be like Christ, but you have to be humble and lowly like Moses. See, he became and he made himself a what? He took a form of a what? Servant. So I don't think you can be higher than that. You can be Lord and being a servant. So if you're going to be like Christ, you're going to serve, and you're going to serve others, and you are calling is to be like Him and to serve. How do you like that? Not to be served. Even if you don't get served, you still are called to serve, to take a form of a servant, not being proud, not being the first. Loneliness and meekness with long suffering, huh? Not so much that you have to just be humble, but you have to suffer everything. He did. Forbearing, huh? Tolerating. He tolerated me. Tolerating one another in what? In love. So, oh, I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to speak and I'm going to create me a world and I'm going to live in it. Oh, no. The way up is down. Let's start a little lower, you know, like below your shoe, underneath your shoe. Let's start there. And let's work our way up.
Right.
So that's why people sometimes don't understand the calling. See? Well, I'm going to church because I want to be helped. But what about come to church to help somebody else? Yeah. Because that's what you're here for, to serve.
Right.
Take a form of a servant. Amen. With all loneliness, that means you have to be submissive. Like wife submits to the husband, and we submit to our husband. In meekness, being gentle with one another, have self-control, not blow your top and somebody don't tell you or talk to you the way you want to be talked or whatever, do something. Be patient, long-suffering, forbearing, tolerate one another, and be unselfish. Love is unselfish, you know that? Because when you love someone, it's unconditional. You don't want nothing out of that person. You're not doing loving somebody for some other means. Love should be unselfish. Amen. 4, there is one body. There is one spirit. It says, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So, how many hopes do we have? Remember, faith is the thing, the hope of the things that we don't. We got the same hope. It's to be like him. One of these days, I want to change over body. I want to be like him, and I will. But it starts over here. We need to walk like he walked. He's our model. He's our pattern. And we need to follow him. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not two, but one. We're talking about unity. Unity. One God and Father of all of us. That he's in control of everything. And he's in control over all things. And he's working his will in all of us. See? Inside us. Working his will. Amen. So, if that is the case, then unity is very important. You cannot have God and not have unity. If you love God, he says, but you don't love your brother, where's the unity there? You cannot love God that God loves your brother and said, I cannot stand that guy. You said, okay, I don't think about that guy that way. But yeah, but you cannot see him in a picture. Or maybe every time he's walking in the same side of the sidewalk, you cross the street. Do you know what that's called? Passive hate. When you don't want to talk to your brother.
Right.
We should not love so be unselfish. You should have nothing. Nothing that will keep us from loving one and being one. You cannot be one with God and not one with your brother and your sister.
Yeah.
You love God, so you must love your, the same way you must love your brother. Amen. So that is your vocation. And we have to have unity. It's the first thing. Walk in unity. Not, I believe that, you know, walked in unity. Amen. Brother Branham says, be not afraid. There is a different word used. The appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's two different things. The coming is not the appearing of Christ. Now, two different words to all together. See, now Christ is appearing in this last day. He said, he is in the church. His church together in what? Unity. If there's no unity, he will not appear. That is a must. You have to have unity. You have to walk in unity. Because when we are united, just like they did the Tower of Babel, they were in one mind, in one accord, in one sentiment, in one feeling. And God says, you know, nothing shall we. They can do anything they want to. When you are in unity, anything can happen. He says, his church bringing his church together in unity. That is what Christ is doing these days. And faith. Unity, faith. And power in the word. All together. Then when he returns, wait a minute, he's going to appear in the church, but he's going to return. There's two different things. If you don't see the appearance of Christ in the church first, there's no return. God is waiting for us to get all together so he can appear. Then he will come. So you know what you need to look at when you were talking about the rapture? You can excuse me. You can look at yourself. I'm ready. Yeah, you're ready. But are we ready?
Right.
It's not me. Are we ready?
Right.
And if we're not we ready, let's find out why and how can we get ready.
Amen.
At that time, he will appear.
Amen.
I don't know if it will be, I don't think in bodily form, but the Holy Ghost is here. We feel his presence. Can you imagine you fully feel all that in the service? That we are so together, so united, walking united. Walking united, that means that we have the same mind, the same feeling, the same thought. We love God the same way, and we love one another. He says, then he returns, we'll find the same church. That when he returns, he will find the same church, the church that he has appeared to. So, you have something to look forward before the rapture. You know, people like to look for things, you know, before the rapture. I know California is going to fall, so I will be ready too late. Before the rapture, he will appear in the body of Christ all over the world. I don't know how he's going to do it. It doesn't matter. I'm worried about it right here. Right here, because I'm part of this body.
Right.
And you are part of this body.
Yeah.
And if you are not part of this body, he will not appear. If you're a son of God and you are not living in that kind of condition, he will not appear until you're ready.
Right.
Until we're ready. He says, what the power worm left, the caterpillars eaten. What the caterpillar left, the locust eaten. And down to the canker worm. But God says, I will restore, says the Lord. Amen. So the first thing that we see after having faith and after walking in our vocation, that here what we call then walk in unity. I mean, you can have all the faith you want to, but if we are not united, Paul says you can have faith that you can move a mountain. I mean, you can have a big ministry and you can heal everybody. I don't care. You can move mountains and do whatever you want, but if there's no what? Unity. Law,
right.
It's just like nothing. Living the dream again, see? Next thing, quickly, walk in wisdom. Okay? Walk, you know, walk in unity with God and his brothers and sisters, and also he walk in wisdom. See? Then, you see that then you walk, Ephesians 5:15. Circle sparkly, not as a fool, but as a wise. A fool is, you know, people that don't believe the word of God. You know, they don't live him right. They tolerate evil, you know, things like that. Therefore, see that you walk carefully. See, carefully means that you know your purpose. And you honor God when you are walking. Make sure that you do all everything that you can to please God when you're walking. You don't have to please me, but you must please God.
Right.
At work, at school, whatever you said, whatever come along, whatever conversation, whatever gesture you do against one another, make sure that you are honoring God and not the flesh. See, not as an unwise, but as wise, see, person. Now, wisdom, we're talking about wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom. It's the world wisdom and God wisdom. Now, the world wisdom is based on intellect and experience. Okay? God, his church, is based on the truth, the knowledge of his word, and a revelation. The world is intellectual and experience. So, what I'm trying to say is that if you're going to discern a situation, you're going to need the discerner in you. Now, you have enough experience out there, and you have enough degrees that you might decide to go alone and go and make a decision based on that intellectual and the knowledge. But that, how do you know? We are not. We don't know everything. The life is very complex. You can make a decision and make a move, and I'll assure you, it might look good at the beginning. At the end, you know, man, I made a lot of mistakes making decision, but my cap-out is this one. But honey, I made a decision with the information that I had at the time. Now, that has changed. So I cannot help that. But if I was God and I could have foreseen that, I would make the right decision, right? But see, I'm not God. But I serve a God that knows the future. So when we make a decision, we want to base on the revelation that we have of the truth, or His word. You know, we're in different levels of spirituality. I don't know everything, but I know a little bit more than maybe a younger person. You know, because my level of spirituality all the years, but that don't mean I know everything. I still got to depend on God to make a basic decision. I had lost money making decision because I thought I was right. Well, I wasn't. And that's bad because God told me already what to do, and I decided that I got a better way. I did. I mean, I'm still making mistakes. I won't make it no more. It cost me $200, the last one. So you're going to pay for your mistakes. So what I'm saying is the world and his, you know, intelligence and experience, that's not enough to to move anything. I mean, I want more than that. I want the mind of God. I want the mind of Christ. And I want His experience. And the word, know, and the revelation. And I can put those two together and I can discern something. Amen? Better than trying to go out myself. So, I'm going to read something on that a little later. But 16 said, redeeming the time. See? You have to make the most out of your time. Listen to me, your people, you ain't got no time to waste. You don't know if you're going to live 77 years like me. You don't have no assurance. You don't have no assurance that you walk out of this church and you're going to make it home. You got no assurance. So whatever time you got, whatever time you are living, make sure that you recognize and take the advantage and the opportunities that God has given to you. Amen. Use it for His glory and His honor. I wasted a lot of time. I did. I came to the Lord. I was already, I was in denomination church. I was born in church, I believe. But I'm only 30 years old. See? And I dread it because I wasted 30 years of my life. Don't waste your time. I mean, the right time, the time that is correct to serve God is that time. No, I'm going to wait till I have fun, and then when I get older, how do you know you're going to get older? People are playing basketball and football out there, and they have a heart attack, young kids, 17 years old. In fact, young people are having diseases and affliction that the old people, you know, already, sugar problems, all kind of stuff. That used to be people that get old. Nowadays, no more get old. People are having a heart attack at 19, 20, 20, 30 years old. Unheard. That's what we're living on. So, make the most of your time. Redeem your time. Church is open. Redeem your time. What did he say? Church is not going to be open. Because the days are evil. Amen. Make the most of your time. Take advantage of it. Every opportunity that this church give you that is open, you know, take an advantage of it. Because the days are filled with evil. And you don't know what to expect. 17. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Imperative. You need to do that. We need to do that. See, don't live like a foolish person. See, because what the world called good is bad. I remember they used to, that was a word that they used a few years back. Oh, it's cool. They don't use that cool word anymore. It's cool. But if it's cool, I'll tell you what, it's hot, actually. It's not cool. The world has nothing cool to offer you. You're going to jump in a frying pan is what it is. And you're going to do the jumping bean dance. See. Don't follow the world and the things of the world. I mean, world and the things of the world. See. Be kind. Be considerate. Care. Because the world right now is rude. It's very uncaring. Nobody cares. And that's what the Bible said. They will have no feeling for anything but themselves. The world is getting on being unkind, unsensitive these days. But we need to understand that that's not us. That's not how Jesus lived this life. But understand firmly, grasp what the will of the Lord is. That is important. If you want to be Christian, you want to know who you're following and why you're following, and you know you're doing His will. Amen. 18, and not be drunk with wine. There is in excess. But be filled with the Spirit of God. Nothing else can take the place of the Holy Ghost. We try with alcohol, we try with drugs, we try with this, with fun, we try with dancing. Nothing can take the place of the Holy Ghost. But we are there trying to fill that spot that God made for Himself. And how bad, because it just don't work. I know. I've been there. I was there. Nothing gave me more satisfaction than letting God have His way in my life. And there is corruption. People are killing, stupid, you know, foolish things. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. You will not be satisfied in what you're looking for until you are filled with God Himself. Amen. And the Spirit will guide you. I'm going to see. This is what Brother Brown says. Spirit is constantly guiding you. Listen. The first gift was wisdom. And the second gift was knowledge. And what good is it to going to do if you have knowledge and you have any wisdom? I don't care how smart you are. But I don't care how smart you are. Either way, in God, you might know the message. You might know the Bible. You might be an engineer. I don't care. You might be the president. But Brother Brown is saying, what good knowledge do if you don't have wisdom? You know, people, and that's what you're seeking. The Bible said, if you want wisdom, ask, and He will give it to you abundantly. So you didn't even have to try to manufacture, try to figure how to make it. It's given freely. To obey Him. He says, wisdom now, how to take care of knowledge. See, if you haven't got wisdom to know how to take care of your knowledge. So if you have knowledge, you might know the message up and down, but you don't know wisdom is what help you to do something with the knowledge. Without wisdom, you can do, well, you can try. You ain't gonna get anywhere. To know wisdom, how to take care of your knowledge. what good does it to speak with tongues if you have no wisdom? You got no wisdom. What good is come to church and play Christian and you have no wisdom? How good is to quote the message and you have no wisdom? Right. Wisdom is necessary if you're going to walk with God. What good says to know when and how to place it? Same thing with healing and with any gift. That's why people have gifts in church. And they can place him. Why? Because there's no wisdom. You can have wisdom. If you have a gift and you don't know what to do with it, then ask God to give you wisdom. Wisdom is what makes the word of God work in your life. Wisdom is what tell you what to do with the knowledge that you have. See? We talked about experience. He said, let me go back, because I told you, know how to knowledge of the word of God coupled with experience. You know, the understanding of the word and the revelation, that's where you get the understanding. You have to have the word and the revelation of the word. Now, this is what Brother Brown said. Now, according to this verse, when a man experienced the death of God and in his life, so, in order to be wise, you need to have knowledge, and you have to have experience. Now we throw something else in the thing. Personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling in him and in his mind is illuminated by the wisdom, see, and knowledge of God through the Word. So, this is what he's saying. You have knowledge, but you need to experience that knowledge. I mean, if I want to help you, let's say your dad or your mom passed away, and mine is still living, I cannot comfort you, I cannot help you, because I haven't had that experience. And if I try to comfort you, it is probably I make a mess. I don't have that experience. But once I had that experience, now I got wisdom. I know what to do to comfort somebody else. And that works with everything. You need to experience the Word of God before you can even start having the wisdom to use it. So it's not only to have the Word of God, because the Word of God without wisdom kills you. Because the wisdom is come from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get that in a minute. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the experience. Not me. You don't look at me to see how I live, to see how you're going to do it. Or how I do things to see how you're going to do it. Well, Brother Tommy, he went to that. Listen, I know some families, you know, not here when I was in the other church, that I like to help. But I decided to quit doing that. Because sometimes you advise a family about, let's say they have a problem with the children, and they ask you, what do you think I can do? Don't go there. If you don't have wisdom, don't go there. Because you tell them what you did with yours, and when she goes and do they, you know what happened? It won't work for her family. Families are different. People are different. Parents are different. Houses are different. Kids are different. So I don't expect that what I did with my children will work with yours. So stop advising any family about what they can do better. You know, just pray and let God. You know, if God speaks to you, then you can. That's your experience. And then you can use wisdom. But a personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling in him, see? So here we go again. So I'd like to get off this 16. But Abraham, he says, he had patience, see? He believed God and he had experience, he said. The time to make a good decision to discern things is that you have to go through that experience. Not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. When you're walking with God, you know, you go through things every day. Situation, circumstances, tests. But that is because God is testing the Word in you. Right. So you know that when you go through that experience, that will work. And that will give you wisdom. So because next time it happens, well, you know, you're going to be wise. I've already been there. I've done that. I know what happened, so, and I know what to do. And if somebody comes and asks you, I'm wise, you know, because I have gone through that experience. The Holy Ghost is taking you from glory to glory, from experience to experience to experience, so you can be wise. When you got to make a decision based on these experiences. If you had never experienced something, how are you going to make a decision? You know how you make it? Intellectual. Because you don't have no way to figure out what God will do in that situation. Let the Holy Spirit get you through that and show you what to do. In the meantime, we'd like to go intellectually. And it might work, it might not work. So what I'm saying is, take the Word of God and let God lead that Word to you. And you'll be wiser. And you can live a life to serve others and help others. Amen? So, an experience and the knowledge of God, when it happens, you experience the Word of God. And then now, it's a revealed Word of God, actually. God has to reveal your Word. You experience that Word, and then you become wiser. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to complicate things. I mean, Brother Brown, don't complicate things. The thing is, the more you experience God, the wiser you get. Because now you can make decisions based not on what you think, but what he thought. Why? Because I have lived that Word, and I know it works. And I know if it worked for me, it will work for you, and it will work for you, and then you become wiser. Not on your own, but in God's revelation. One more. Love. I think I have love and I got light. Better hurry up. I got 3 minutes. Love. Walk in love. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Therefore, become imitators of God. Follow God. Be imitate God. Copy God. Copy Jesus Christ. He's the pattern. And follow his example. You know, when it comes to love, when it comes to everything, as well as imitate him, imitate the Father. And then it says Ephesians 1, I forgot. Oh, you got it, okay. 2, and walk in love, another walk. Walk in wisdom, walk in love, and walk in unity. He says, and walk in love, and Christ also, that hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering of sacrifice to God for the sweet smell Savior. I mean, I can just see this, you know. At one point, I used to stink. You know, the world is just a stinker. When you get the stain of the world and all that, you stink like a worm. And that's the worst smell you can have. But then God come and take you, you know, and clean you up and fill you. And now you come to church and you praise God and you worship God and you sacrifice your lip. And then an aroma, you know, a fragrance, a savor will start going up. No longer that stench of the world when we used to be out there. So that's why we're talking. We walk in love. See? Because we become just like Christ. Christ pleased God in such a way that he became a sweet smelling savior. I want that my life smell good in his nostrils. I want when I come to church that my praises and my sacrifices will bring that odor, that great, that he will be pleased to come down and fellowship with me. Walk in love. See, walk, love will do that. And walk continuously in love. See, because you love God, you love your brother, you love the church, you love your pastor, you love your enemy, you love everybody. And that's how Jesus walked, and he became a sweet aroma. And you know, if I want to please somebody, I want to please him. Walk continuously in love. See? Practice it every day, not only in church. It's easy to love one that loves you, but what reward is that? Let's go and love somebody that hates you.
Right.
Practice. That's how you practice. Don't come to church to practice. Everybody like you. We like each other. See? Go and practice on somebody compassion and be unselfish. And prefer your brother, you know. The Bible said that, prefers your brother better than you. See, seeking the best for others, not for yourself. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for you, for us, in an offering of sacrifice to God. He was a slain. And he became a sweet fragrance. Listen, we're going to have to kill this guy. Now, physically, don't do this. Don't do it at home. But, you know, you got to modify this flesh. If you want to smell good to God, this guy had to go. See, this I don't even stand this guy. You know, I like to keep him down as much as I can. I don't want to even smell this guy. You know, I want to be a sweet fragrance to God every step I take. And that is what you do. You know, what you're called to do. Brother Barnes said, perfect faith. And now we become anointed with that same spirit. Anointed messiahs. Messiahs of the last days. To shine forth the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To show that he is not dead. He said, so that's a vocation. We are to show the world that he's still alive. Said that he's not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he is in his people, moving among his bride with love affair to her, pouring out into her himself, from glory to glory, and poor and poor, and he pours until you become like him. See, he says, they are becoming one For the wedding, what? Supper. So until we get united and become one with God and we want one another, there ain't going to be no supper. So if I see you slacking, I'm going to give you, you know, help. Let's go. I want to leave. You know, move on. He said, supper. And same sign, he said, they are becoming one for the wedding supper, and the same sign promised by the same God in the same word is making his same manifestation. So you are becoming the manifestation of the word in today. There's nothing left for us to do but what? Have faith. Believe it. It's the substance. And that creates a perfect what? Faith. Just think how numb we are just thinking of these things. The last one is walk in the light. Walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in the light. Walk in unity. Ephesians 5:8. For we were sometimes in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? Of light. I think he knows walk. And he was the light of that time. And you are the light of this world. Jesus said, I am the light, but he's in you, so you are the light. Wherever you go, you are the light. To light somebody else way unto the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, says verse 9. See, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. There's nothing bad in God. God is good. And we should be also partaking of his goodness in our life. Not only partaking, but also reflecting his goodness. And righteousness. Righteousness means you think right and you do the right things. And the only thing right is the word of God. See? And the truth. So, that's what the light consists of. Goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So as we walk, you know, in the light of the truth of these days, then proving, that doesn't mean you have to prove God. Let me prove if this is good or not. No, this is not what he's saying. You are proving that the word is right. Your life should prove that God is right. In everything you do, proving. Not proving your brother to see if it's right or wrong so you can. No. In you should be the proof. How anybody can see the proof? Well, you have to act just like him. And then it will be according to the Bible. Proving that what is acceptable unto the Lord. Trying to learn, you know, like I said, by experience, what is pleasing to the Lord. See? You can only learn by experience, not by intellectual and not by reading the Bible or reading the message. That will kill you without the Holy Spirit. You have to have an experience. You need to experience the Word of God. We come to church, we hear the Word, we need to experience that Word that we heard. If it goes in deaf ears, then you will never know what that Word means. I don't care if what you heard was a review. You need to feel, experience. Then you understand, and you have the wisdom to do something about it. It says, to try to learn by experience what is pleasing. That is the only way you can learn. You can go to the school and you can learn to be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever you want to learn to be, by books. It's all technically. And you're going to find a job. You know what the first question they ask you? Do you have experience? I just got out of college. I'm looking for experience. Yes, you're looking for experience because experience is going to give you the wisdom to deal with this subject the rest of your life. The same thing with church. We come to church. What are you looking for? The word that you hear, I want experience that word in me. Not in my brother. Lord, that you said to me, that you talked to me through my pastor, I want experience that. Yes. Then you don't have to give people a second hand, you know, testimony. Now you lead that testimony. Now you're wise. Now you can help. Now you can discern. But if we come to church and we heard the word and we don't experience that word throughout the week, that's what we ask you. Go home, meditate on what was said. If God spoke to your heart, then let that become, you know, your goal. Lord, I want to experience your word this week. Even if it takes me down to the, you know, whatever. I don't care what you have to do. I want to experience that word. And he puts you to a situation maybe you won't like, but you will understand the word in you, how it works. Anyway, it's pleasing to the Lord and letting your lifestyle be an example. See? Be acceptable. Your behavior too. Expressing always gratitude to God for your salvation. That's been proven what is acceptable. You know, God himself said, prove me. God even told you, hey, here's my word, prove it. How are you going to prove it? Well, you prove it in you. God don't have to play and tell you how it works. He knows how it works. He made the word. You need to know how it works. Right. And the only way you can do is take God's word, prove me. Right. See if I don't open the windows of heaven and bless you. Amen. But you have to go through the proving part. We don't need to love the world more than God. Don't participate in the worthless and unproductive things, this of the darkness. We're living in evil time. See? Now, First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, talking about the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all our sins. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Amen. He will erase that stain, that stench of the world. He keep us clean from all sins. Amen. Brother Brown says, let me say this with humility. Let me say this with broken voice. But a broken heart. Two, it is evening time. The Bible said, I will be light in the evening time. There will be a day that it won't be neither night or day. The prophet said, it will be just hearing the word with no manifestation. If there's no light, if we can experience the word, there can be manifestation. Okay? How can you manifest something that you can never experience and you don't know what it is? You have to experience God, and you have to have the light. Remember what light is, Brother Doug said it. Light is the manifestation of the word in your life. So you have to experience it to become light. It says, with the light in the evening time, it says, it will be just hearing the word with no manifestation. We come to church and we hear the word. If that word don't fall in good ground and produce any fruit, it will not be manifested. It will be here. Only. It will not drop what it needs to drop and grow and manifest itself. So how are we going to be like Christ? If every word that we hear, we come to church to hear his word, but not only to hear his word, I want to do his word. But to do his word, you need to experience his word. That is the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You cannot make it. He will do it for you. He says, just a gloomy, foggy, see, without manifestation, you just gloomy, foggy day. But in the evening time, the light will shine. The light of this message. So, out there, there's no light. Denomination, there's no light. Therefore, they cannot manifest the word. You have to have light. So you can see what you're following. So you can see what you're doing. So you can read at least. So you can understand the light. It says, it's gloomy, and out there it's foggy. That's why at the end of the Branham, when it did the moon, it was more light in the first age. Now, the light is almost disappearing. The only light that is left is in you. That's why you can walk with God. Now, that is why you can please God, because the light is still shining in your path. See? Gloomy, foggy, but in the evening time, the light will shine again. And I'm glad it's shining again. It says, it be light. And in this evening time, we are now living where Christ taught his ministers He preached the gospel for 2,000 years through the ministry. He's still doing it today. But this is the evening light. The evening light was the manifestation of the resurrection. This message came to manifest Christ resurrected in you. He's alive and he's well. Can people out there can tell by your action and the way you live and the things you do that he's living in you? Yes, I pray that that's what we want. I don't want nobody to see Eli. I want people to see Christ in me. Because that is the hope of glory. And this is the light that came in the evening time. I'm glad that God called me, chose me. Because I didn't even know there was a prophet. I didn't know it was light. I was living out there in the Baptist church. I know I was unhappy, but I didn't know why I was unhappy. Well, I know that. Because they had no light. They had no manifestation. They got word. And not able, what? A form. And not able to have the power to manifest the word. But you have that. What are you going to do with it? Put it under the table? Or let the word manifest through you in everything you do? Don't put the light under the table. Let it shine. Let this message shine through you, wherever you go. But the Bible says, when God Almighty comes down in our midst and proves it, when he said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he proved that so. I don't care who says not about it. God interprets his own word. He said he would do these things in the last days. There will be light in the evening time. And there is light for the manifestations of the sons of God. You are the only light left. Manifest this light. The world is looking for something that they don't know what they're looking for. The world is in chaos. They're looking for hope. And you have it. So you become the light of this world, the manifestation of God in flesh. Conclusion, Micaiah 6:8. I'm going to throw one more thing in here before I close. He has shown or told us, oh man, what's good? So it's a question, what is good? What do the Lord requires of thee? We just finished. So this is question we're asking. What did you hear? What is good? What does the Lord require from thee now? Or we just heard a good sermon or a bad sermon? Or you think you feel like the Lord is requiring something from you tonight? But to do what? Justly, be just. God is just. And being just is do the right things. Think the right things. Love what? To love mercy. To practice love, kindness, compassion. We heard, this is what we heard. And this is what is required now from thee. And to walk what? Humbly. Meekness. With God. So, tonight, God is requiring, I don't require it, he requires something. God, what you heard is not just hearing and go home, and that was a nice sermon or a bad sermon, I don't care what it was. But God is going to require something from you tonight. And whatever you do with that, that's up to you. God loves you, and he even lets you be in control. Well, you have a choice. God will not take your choice away. So tonight, let's stand. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in wisdom. And we need to walk in unity. And most of all, we need to have faith to believe what we hear and put it into practice. If not, it will be darkness. You are the light of this world. You are the manifestation of this message for this time. You have been called to that vocation. So if there's a lot of responsibility on us. Amen. But we are not alone. God will make it come to pass. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for letting us come, Father, and be together and have fellowship around this word. Thank you for your word, Father, because your word is more than life to us. Thank you, Father, for choosing us, but not only choosing us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that is our tutor, that is the one that takes us, Father, and show you things and keep us. Father, we thank you because you just not call us and just left us alone to see what happened. No, you call us, but you also have prepared the way from the beginning to the end, Father. We trust in you, we trust in your word, Father, but we don't want just to leave it to hear the word. We want to become a word, Father, a manifestation of what we are hearing, Father. That's what we are here for, Father, because that is what's going to please you, you know, not to hear something, but to be something. And more than that, to be Jesus Christ, your own son. That will please you. You was pleased with him, Father. And you will be pleased with our testimony if we also have faith, Father, and live the life that is pleasing to you. Father, thank you for Enoch, and we know that Enoch is the type of the bride. So the way he walked, we walk. There's not two different walks, two different purposes. There's not two different trails or journeys. There's just the same journey for all of us, Father, just in different levels. But this journey will take us all the way to our objective. And that's you, Father, to be like you, to be like Jesus. Father, again, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the health you gave me. Thank you for the energy to stand up here, Father, and do this thing, Father, because it's all you, Father, and I thank you. Thank you for my brothers that they came out to hear your word and ask you a special blessing, Father, that you take them home, Father, save and let them meditate, Father, in this word, anytime, all the time, Father, until this word become flesh, Father, become light, becomes truth to someone else. Father, we thank you. We ask you to, right now, Father, that you will take us home, Father, and take us home, and if it's another Sunday, Father, we ask you, we will come in an expectation, Father, again, Father, because that means we're not done. I'm not done, Father. So I appreciate, Father, your word, Father. I appreciate this church. I appreciate, Father, all you do for me, Father. And I just want to be always ready, Father, to meet the challenge of this day. And tonight, this is the challenge. The word challenged me, Father. And I want, with your help, with the power of your spirit, be a walking Bible, a walking word, Father. Because that is, you call me to share this light, to manifest this light to a lost world, Father. World out there, Father. We thank you and we appreciate you, Father. Be with our brother, Pastor. Be with those that are not here for whatever reason, those that are going to travel, Father, those that are sick and afflicted, Father. We claiming, Father. We claiming the healing. We claiming, Father. You are such a real God. We're not serving a myth or a story. It is your story, Father. And we thank you because whatever you said, it will happen. And we believe it, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask you this thing. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.